Welcome to the 10-Minute Entrepreneur Podcast, intended to equip and encourage business owners and aspiring entrepreneurs. Taught by active business owner, best-selling author, and teacher, Sean Castrina.
All right, you know, I get excited about interviews, especially when I'm interviewing somebody who's an entrepreneur who's been starting companies since 1990. We're going to talk about his most recent venture because I believe it'll help our audience today. We do this podcast. Well, let me say this. I do this podcast for one of three reasons. I want to equip you. I want to give you information. That's why I teach a lesson every week that can help you get a little bit smarter at this. I want to encourage you. That's why I bring on guests. They can encourage you with their story. They can equip you maybe with some information they have. And then there's the equipping. They just have something that is tangible to what you need to grow your business. They might be a consultant, a lawyer. They might work with intellectual property. They have something very specific that they do, that they own, that their company does, that can take you to where you're currently not at. And that's why I have Paul Neal with me here today. He is the founder of Vantage Point Commercial Capital. He helps entrepreneurs through the growth that's needed, and you know, growth requires capital. He helps real estate investors. And during this recession, everybody needs a little bit more money. Paul, it's great to have you on the podcast.
Hey, Sean, it's great to be here. I'm excited about it.
All right. So I always start with this is how did you start out being an entrepreneur in the first place? You know, how did you make that pivot from potentially, you know, being an employee to wanting to be an entrepreneur?
Man, it's been, it had happened early in my life. I was in college, actually. I had a couple of jobs in high school and college and really didn't like having bosses, to be honest with you. Studied engineering. That was a track I thought I was going to go because I was good in math and science. My father was an engineer. But my sister and brother-in-law had gotten into business and I'd watched them a few years ahead of me really achieve a level of success that were starting to live a dream, getting the taste of that, of some of the things that I wanted to do in my life. And I didn't really see it happening working the traditional 9-to-5 for someone else, and got the bug and had the opportunity to go into business with them when we were in college. And heck, by the time school was over, we were making more money in that business than I would have as an engineer. So there was no looking back at that point.
Yeah. Once you get a taste of A, the freedom, and number two is the unlimited income. And it's not that, let's say you're going to make $1 million, 10 million. It has to do with the fact that I can at least control what I make.
Right.
Like there's not that ceiling and, if you have a good year, you might have a 3% pay raise.
Yeah. And that concept and the idea of just, you know, freedom and flexibility, you know, I felt like I was a hamster in a cage. I did a little co-oping on the job when I was in college. And I thought, wow, this just, an 8x10 cubicle with fluorescent lights. I just can't, you know, I'm going to slit my throat if I have to stay here for, you know, for my whole career.
I have very little attention span. I know exactly what you're talking about. So we get to what you founded, obviously Vantage Point Commercial Capital. What made you want to found, why this company?
Yeah, sure. So, you know, I've had 6 or 7 companies over my career. I've had some great successes. I've had some failures. And, you know, one of the common themes was cash flow and funding and what it took to get a business really successful. And a lot of times over the hump, sometimes through the bad periods. And most of my network were entrepreneurs, business owners, and you know it's just it's kind of the same story. And so I thought, well, what if I could position myself in a place where I could help them secure the funding that they needed, outside of maybe the traditional channels, because most people just go to the local bank and talk to their you know who they're used to dealing with, but banks are really not the entrepreneur's friend, I've found. And so particularly when things turned down, like in 07 and 08, we saw banks calling loans. We saw all kinds of crazy things. And it was really painful for a lot of my friends and myself. And so I thought, well, what a great opportunity to really help these guys win.
Now, it's funny that you mentioned that because this is what I found with banks. They called in one of my loans in 2008 as well. I mean, they treated me like a prince for like 7 years.
Right.
2008, they were like, hey, listen, the industry you're in, we don't really feel comfortable with it. And by the way, it's due in 30 days.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, it wasn't even like, you know, hey, that. And my principle now has been, I get lines of credit when I don't need it. Right. Because when you need it, you'll never have it.
You'll never get it.
Always get money when you don't need it. That's when you want to build up the war chest of lines of credit or things of that nature. Absolutely when you don't need it. That's just free advice I'm sharing with you because I absolutely agree with what you said. So with that being said, how is your funding unique in that? Are you kind of take us underneath the blankets. How it works and what they're paying. I always find the more disclosure you give, the more likely my audience is to connect with you and be involved in what you're doing.
Yeah, absolutely. So we sort of focus outside of the box. So most of our investors are non-depository institutions. Once in a while, we have access to some bank money if it makes total sense. But generally speaking, like for instance, one of the areas we focus on is we do a lot of owner-occupied commercial real estate. So if you're a business and you're renting your building, maybe you're a physician or veterinarian or chiropractor, you're renting that building. Why not own it? Well, most people think, well, I don't want to put 20% down. I don't want to take, a $2 million building and leverage $400,000 in cash that I could be using for operations and on a short term. And so we have investors. We have private investors. We have family money. We have insurance company funds that we have access to, a lot of different sources. And we've done some of those transactions with 0 to 10% down. And in a very competitive rate situation too, sometimes much better than the bank where we can go a longer term fixed rate because a lot of our investors, they like that. They like that owner occupied building and particularly if someone's in it. So that's one option and one avenue that we like to chase down. And we do that a lot. That's one of our major focuses.
I was going to say my first piece of commercial property that I bought, one of my friends did the 20% down to him. He's like, you're going to be in there, right? Your business is going to be there. Cause like I'm in, and now he's, 50% owner. It was a 50-50 deal between he and I. I looked at it like this. I got a piece of property that I could have never got.
Right.
And so that I've always had peace of mind on that. I always say 0 times 0 is 0. I would never have been able to get the property for what it cost, the credit I would have need. I mean, I really needed a co-signer with it, with the level of loan it would have been and all that. And we're still partners to this day, but I could have never pulled it off. To him, right. He put up this 20%. He's never had to put another dollar up since. Right. And we got a property now, seven figure, piece of real estate that he's got in his portfolio and I got in my portfolio because it was a win on both ends.
Yeah. And like one of my clients, she bought a building. She's a physician about 15 years ago. She recently sold her practice to one of these large monolithic medical practices that are gobbling up all the independents, right? So she's got 2 to 3 years left in her contract before she retires, but she owns her building now free and clear. And so they're actually leasing the building from her. So not only did they buy the practice, but now she's got about a $9,000 or $10,000 a month cash flow just on the building that's paid for. I mean, how can you beat that?
It's so true. I've said this in at least 3 of my 4 books, always own the land under your business. Because even when things are bad, you have an asset that's constantly growing, no matter what happens. I mean, when things are, and it's allowed me to have a line of credit if I want it, because obviously I have an asset and I'm fortunate. I have a partner who would sign off on it. But no, that it does help. What do you, when it comes to helping the growth of entrepreneurs, okay, you got to, an entrepreneur, give us growth scenarios that you guys are comfortable with, very comfortable with. I don't want to hear the 1 in 100 story that you funded. I want to hear the one that we like this. This is a kind of, this is our strike zone. You present us with this, there's a better than 50% chance we might be interested in something like this.
Yeah. So, I mean, the strike zone is an entrepreneur that has a business that's up and running and cash flowing. Okay. I mean, we don't focus on startups. Occasionally we'll look at those, but they have to be really, really strong. So you got a guy, for instance, I have a young guy right now. He owns a popcorn business, believe it or not, a retail popcorn does really well. And so he's acquiring other retail popcorn businesses in different tourist areas.
Yeah.
And he's got the training, he's got the experience, he's got the systems. So he's buying out mom and pops that have just sort of wiggled their way into a good place and some success. And he's bringing his systems in and he's just picking them up one at a time. And so he's building, he's growing his business, through that methodology. And it's highly effective. So someone who has got experience in the area, they've got a demonstrated track record and they have cash flow, or if they want to acquire a business, we see a lot of this same kind of thing. We see people transitioning out of corporate America. Maybe they've got some money in the 401k or whatever, they've done well, but they're looking for that second career and they've got enough, maybe not direct experience in the business they want to acquire, but close enough in terms of management systems, that sort of thing. That's a good bet for us. We like that. And we've done a lot with that.
And typically in something like that, and again, is this something where you guys take an equity position in it? Is it typically I always say, just tell my people what they're going to be giving up to get something like this, so they're not shocked. I know the answer, I think, to most of what you're going to say, but hearing it come from you, because maybe there's something there that's different than what I'm used to hearing.
Yeah, honestly, it's very rare that we take an equity position. We're more interested in the lending. We feel like that's better off for the entrepreneur. You know, giving up equity early in a growth period, it's easier for the entrepreneur, but in the long run, it's not in their best interest.
I so agree with what you just said. I say this all the time. The loan won't bother you. The equity will.
Right.
That's right. Just my rule. It's like the rule of owning the land under your building. My rule is always take loans. Worst case scenario, and I tell them how to structure them. If you can, in a perfect world, if you can, you know, if you're borrowing enough for like a startup, do like a 2-year grace period to get going, and then pay a king's ransom, maybe in interest, you know, whatever you think's normal, you're going to pay. It's got to be good enough for the person to want to take the risk,
right?
And forfeit their money. And if you don't think it's a risk, it's a risk. So the payoff's got to be really good. But in any loan like that, I've always believed, don't give up the equity you'll kick yourself on, unless it's one of those where you know it would have never happened. That's the only scenario that's acceptable. It simply would have never happened.
I totally agree. I remember an example, very similar. One of the companies I had, I bootstrapped it, started it up. And I sort of grew an operations manager, and I was kind of on the cheap at that point. I thought, well, I'll give him a percentage of not the equity, but the growth.
Yeah.
And boy, I tell you what, 2 years later, I was kicking myself so hard, because I'm trying to figure out now, how do I re-engineer this? How can I get rid of this guy who's now critical to my business success? But yet he's making way too much money for what he's doing, you know, and it was hard to turn that around.
Yeah, I have a guy right now making funny, because he literally asked me for more money last week, and I literally had to laugh at him. And I said to him, I said, do you realize when you first came to me, you wanted to make this, and now you're making like more than $250,000 a year, and you just want me to blanketly give you more money? And I stopped him in his tracks, and I said, now you're thinking like an employee. See, an employee comes and asks for a raise or asks for an increase in commission. Right. You need to tell me, hey, Sean, help me create more revenue so that you can, your percentage is, you'll make more money because you have a bigger pot taking it from. And I really kind of had to put him in his place on that. But no, I have a situation like that where I'm really getting it, paying a lot. Thankfully, I go back to, it's 50%. I'd rather get 50% of a lot than 100% of a little, so I can handle it a little bit better. But I know the feeling when you look up one day and you go, like, I see his line item every week, and I'm like, I literally had to ask my accountant the other day, like, is there something I'm missing here? Like, it was such an astounding figure. That's funny that, you know, entrepreneurs tend to share these things. Tell me this, you know, in your startup journey, we're looking at, you know, 32 years here. What is the one thing you wish you would have known when you first got started? Like, it's like you're going back, golly, it'd have been really good if I'd have known that.
You know, I think honestly, the best thing that I learned along the way that I did, but it took a while to get there, was to get a coach, to find a mentor, somebody that was third party, that would look over my shoulder and just say, hey, Paul, why are you doing that? Questioning the decisions I was making, you know, challenging me at different stages of the way, particularly a couple of cases I've had coaches that were, you know, sort of industry specific, but other times just people sort of looking out for me, holding me accountable. I think the most challenging part of the entrepreneur is and not realizing how much self-discipline it would require. Maybe, you know, in the beginning it was like, oh, I love this idea of being free and flexible. And the downside to that, or the other side of the sword, as you know, is, yeah, but you better be disciplined if you're going to build your business successfully, because this can require that in order to have that freedom and the flexibility and enjoy the lifestyle that you dream about down the road.
Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, because, you know, like my son, he's in the age group where all his friends are like sub 21, all entrepreneurs, but they don't know their butt from a hole in the ground.
Right.
Literally, they don't. And once a week, he will ask me, hey, can you, you know, it's getting to be once a week, I don't want to say this, but it's getting to where, can you take a call from one of my friends? Can you just, because you can do it in like 5 minutes, and it's just like to me, it's just like breathing. Like literally, like one of his friends, this is like the call that I'm watching TV. And he goes, "Dad, can I please put him on speakerphone?" And I'm like, "Cause I know I can answer in like under 5 minutes." So I pause the TV set, relaxing, and his friend goes, "I got a $2 million offer for my business." And just my audience that's listening, this has nothing to do with today's show other than we're just talking about why a mentor is good. Okay. We're honing in on that because this is an example. So he goes, you know, I was offered $2 million for my business. I go, oh, he's 21 years old. Like, love, these are great problems to have. And I said to him, well, how much are you paying yourself? Like, how much are you really putting in your pocket? You know, it was like 50 grand. I said, do you realize at 2 million, this is 40 years of annual pay? I said, like, that is an 8-second decision.
Right.
You are 21. You will probably find another business that you can do. I said, unless you think you can scale this to 200 million, like, unless you think you can take it like 30, you know what I mean? To the next level. I said, $2 million in your account is a real nice thing to have. You put $1 million away in an index fund. You take 250,000 to try to recreate what you had 50,000 five times. Cause it was very software oriented. You know, I'm like, but it was like a decision that I knew that I could run the metrics in just minutes. You know, like, okay, you make $50,000. How much cash do you actually have in your business? Random thing. You're going to walk out with $2.1 million. You're 21 years old. Do you think you can duplicate anything similar to this in the next 5 years? Oh, no doubt I could. I've got an idea already. Boom. What, you know what I mean? Boom. But that's mentoring. It's like, that's what I'm saying to my audience. A mentor is just somebody who's already made the mistakes.
Yeah.
Or has already done it. I've done both ends. There's times when I probably should have sold that I didn't. There's times when I bought when I probably shouldn't have.
Right. So. Yeah, it's totally true. It you know, and you're crystal clear, and it was just as obvious as the day is long. And he had no idea. He was just lost in his head, right?
He was. He was so thankful. And I handed the phone back to my son. And my son's like, that's my dad. You know what I mean? And I literally have a call like this, you know, at least once a month.
Right.
Where it's like, and it's that mentoring thing. And I've never, you know, it's funny because they're friends of my son. So I never take a penny for it. But these are like $1 million companies. Like I'm giving this mentoring advice from. Like, geez, but you're so true. Finding someone who can just help you navigate. You know, I had an older gentleman that I used to take to lunch. It was so funny. He was in his 70s. He was just such a really sharp guy. And I remember telling him, I said, Ben, would it be okay if I pick you up and take you to lunch once a month until they put you in the box? He goes, I'd love it. And I used to, and he looked, I never, you know, that's all I did was pay for lunch. And I'd play off to him, you know, kind of what I was thinking. And he'd play a war game scenario. Well, did you think about that? Well, what happens if this happens? You know, because he's seen everything over 50 years.
Absolutely.
And he played out every war game scenario that could happen. And it was just so valuable. So when you said mentor, we went onto a 5-minute tangent just because I so agree with that.
Well, it makes you so smart, so wise in business. And, you know, and last point on that from my perspective is there's a whole lot of knowledge out there in the world today. I mean, more knowledge than we could ever even use. You can tap in your phone in 10 microseconds. But there's not a lot of wisdom. And that's what that mentor gives you. And that's that experience. You just can't buy that in a book.
Yeah, it does. I'm going to give my audience one real quick way to get a mentor at no charge because I've done this multiple times. If you find a local business owner, just a local business that you think's doing really well, go in there and shop a few times, be a patron for about 6 months, and then go back in and ask if you can speak to the owner and just absolutely pat him on the back and say, listen, I love your business. I shop here. I own a business. Would it be possible if I could take you to coffee 20 minutes once a month and just run some ideas by you? I'm telling you this, you will not get turned down. Owners love telling you how they did it.
Absolutely.
You will not get turned down. I'm telling you, you do this 3 times, 2.5 are going to say yes to you. And all you tell them is this, it's just 20 minutes. And I'm just going to have a few questions that if I could just run by you, I would love to have your experience. I've done this and it's foolproof.
Yeah, absolutely. Nobody will say no.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Listen, I have Paul Neal with me. He is the founder of Vantage Point Commercial Capital. If you own a business, but you don't own the building around it, you need to reach out to them. If you're looking to see how you can grow your business, you just have a shortage of capital, but you got something special. You can explain it. It looks like something you'd invest in. I always say, don't bring me a dumb idea. I always tell a person, would you invest in what you just brought me? bring me something that excites me. Paul, how can they connect with you?
So I put together a resource for them to help them think through the process on our website, and a special link here just for your show, Sean. Our website is VPC, that's Victor Paul Charlie .capital, and there's no .com, VPC.capital/podcast with a dash and then 10 minute, the number 10 minute. So VPC.capital/podcast-10-minute. And that free resource, it's the key questions that you must ask and answer before you seek funding. And I would say,
Vincent, I know that sounded a little confusing there at the end. Vincent, make everybody that you're listening to look smart and make that in the show notes.
Yeah, it's a lot. It is. But that resource is available. And if you have an immediate need, then you can click the button, schedule a 20-minute discovery call with me, and we'll have a conversation, and we'll see if there's a fit.
Great. Thank you. Again, I have Paul Allen. Paul Allen's a great singer. Paul, thank you so much for being on the podcast today.
Sean, it was a blast. My pleasure. Thank you for having me on.
All right, audience. Thank you so much for listening. Subscribe, review it, tell friends about it. Again, you know what I'm going to tell you. If you need help with your marketing, reach out to getstartedmarketing.com. I have one sponsor because I know they do a great job. We're going to have some great interviews coming up. Obviously, I teach a lesson every week. The goal of the show is equip, encourage, and educate entrepreneurs. We will talk again soon.